They took me to the police station, and it was there I discovered I hadn't been arrested for embezzlement, but for statutory rape and homosexuality. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do.
Alexander Hamilton had relationships with both women and men, the most intense bond being with fellow advisor John Lawrence.
Zodiac is a collection of songs about the human condition, obviously from a transsexual point of view.
I think the best way to describe my album is dyke folk with a bit of a kick.
This is the first sort of pop rock CD I've done in a really long time.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Bangalore cops bust trans women and their defenders, prisons inside prisons for gay Cameroonians, and trans rock lesbi folk and a return to pop in the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Donna Ann Ward.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 1st, 2008. Police in Bangalore, India's third most populous city, were accused this week of arresting and mistreating more than 40 LGBT activists following an apparent crackdown on hijras, male-to-female transsexuals, in what the local Daily News and Analysis called a drive against the city's eunuch menace. According to Human Rights Watch, police took the hijras to the station, verbally abused them, and beat one severely. A five-person crisis team from the Bangalore-based NGO Sangama went to Giringar police station to assist in their release, the global rights group said, which has taken only a few hours in previous cases. HRW said that officers beat, slapped, and kicked them and sexually abused two members of their team. All were charged with unlawful assembly and obstructing a public servant and locked up. A total of 42 people were detained during peaceful demonstrations that followed. The activists and the five hijras originally arrested appeared before magistrates a day or two later, and all were released, some on bail. Many still face charges ranging from extortion to unlawful assembly and rioting. Hijras are often unable to obtain identity papers in India because their gender identity conflicts with their recorded gender at birth. That makes it difficult for many of them to get an education, secure housing, or find legal employment. The NAS Foundation, an NGO sexual minorities advocacy group, is currently challenging India's law criminalizing unnatural sex in the Delhi High Court. They argue that the colonial-era statute has been used to justify persecution of LGBT people in the country and hampers HIV/AIDS education efforts by driving gay people, one of its most vulnerable groups, underground.
According to a report from the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, or IGLHRC, LGBT activists were tear-gassed in mid-October during an event promoting HIV/AIDS prevention in the Guatemalan city of Samayak Sujitepeques. Organizers told IGLHRC that they were originally granted permission to use the municipal hall, but after church groups complained to the mayor, the permit was revoked. They found a rental space, but after nearby police officers left the area, someone threw a tear gas bomb into the room. While no one was seriously injured, IGLHRC said, people fainted, children became excessively tearful, and everyone was affected by the fumes. The group noted that a number of marginalized people, from indigenous to LGBT and women's rights groups, have repeatedly been targeted by police and security forces in Guatemala. Although consensual adult same-gender sex is legal in the Central American country, Amnesty International has also reported widespread abuse of LGBT activists there.
An increasingly inflammatory campaign against gays and lesbians in the East African country of Uganda shows no signs of letting up. A leading newspaper, The Independent, claimed in late October that the signs are there that homosexuality is growing in the Ugandan society. Recruitment is reportedly highest in secondary schools and in prisons. The Monitor newspaper reported this week that a local school district would look into claims that homosexuality is being practiced in some schools in the district. A school official was quoted as saying that, We shall not hesitate to carry out a full-blast investigation because the act itself is criminal under the laws of this country. Two LGBT activists were detained and abused by police last month and accused of recruiting homosexuals, though there's no such crime in Uganda. Many other LGBT people have fled the country. Government leaders and church officials have repeatedly condemned gays and lesbians. President Yoweri Museveni has called homosexuality a negative foreign culture. The country's penal code carries a maximum penalty of life in prison for homosexual conduct, punishes attempts at carnal knowledge with up to 7 years behind bars, and gross indecency with a prison sentence of up to 5 years.
Sexual orientation-based hate crimes are increasing in Scotland at an alarming rate, according to a recent report in the Edinburgh-based Daily Record newspaper. While some local police agencies don't track hate crimes based on sexual orientation, the newspaper cited figures from several that do to report that assaults against gays and lesbians have more than tripled in the country from only a handful 3 years ago to literally hundreds this year. Callum Irving, director of the LGBT advocacy group Stonewall Scotland, called the revelations horrific, telling the paper that there is still a massive problem of underreporting. Police forces need to take it seriously, record these crimes properly, and make it clear to the LGBT community that they can trust the police and that hate crime will not be tolerated. Other human rights activists called for civil rights legislation and hate crime protections for gays and lesbians. Morag Alexander, Scotland Commissioner with the Equality and Human Rights Commission, said that this isn't about being politically correct and urged the Scottish Parliament to give judges the powers to take into account homophobic or prejudiced motivations when passing sentence, making sure the punishment fits the crime.
Hate crimes decreased slightly last year in the United States, but the FBI said this week that there was a surge in crimes targeting gays and lesbians. The FBI reported more than 7,600 hate crimes in 2007, down about 1% from the previous year in the two largest categories, race and religion. But, the report found, attacks based on sexual orientation, the third largest category, increased about 6%. Blacks, Jews, and gays were the most frequent hate crime targets. More than a third of all incidents were categorized as vandalism or property destruction. Intimidation was the second most common hate crime, followed by physical assault. The FBI said its information was purely statistical and did not analyze the causes for the slight overall decrease or the increase in anti-lesbi-gay hate crimes. A rash of attacks against LGBT people, or those perceived to be, were also reported this week on the campuses of the University of Idaho and Washington State University. LGBT-specific federal hate crimes legislation has repeatedly stalled in Congress during the administration of George W. Bush.
In other news, the Vatican issued new psychological screening guidelines for seminarians this week to, according to church officials, eliminate candidates with psychopathic disturbances. Specifically mentioned were heterosexuals unable to control their sexual urges and candidates with strong homosexual tendencies. The document, approved by Pope Benedict XVI and released by the Vatican's Congregation for Catholic Education, said that early detection of sometimes pathological defects would help avoid tragic experiences, a veiled reference to the Roman Catholic Church's notorious sex abuse scandal. The Vatican has claimed that most of the abusers were gay, despite bountiful scientific evidence that there's no connection between sexual orientation and pedophilia. The Pope's increasingly virulent attacks against gays and lesbians seem to parallel legal advances for same-gender couples around the world in recent years.
A small outdoor LGBT rights demonstration scheduled this month in Singapore has been postponed because the main organizer said response from sexual minority communities has been greater than he expected. Roy Tan told the Straits Times that he wanted to hold it early next year instead, to ensure that all interested parties, straight, gay, and queer, have the opportunity to participate in this landmark occasion. It remains to be seen if it will actually take place, however. Singapore authorities have banned or canceled previous public LGBT events that they said promoted a homosexual lifestyle. A cable television station was fined earlier this year for showing a commercial in which two women kissed. and a TV network was even more heavily fined for featuring a gay couple with their adopted son. The government announced earlier this year that private consensual adult homosexual sex would no longer be prosecuted under the Asian city-state's colonial-era sodomy law, but refused to consider its repeal.
And finally, two classics of lesbi-gay literature have survived demands that they be pulled from public library shelves in two U.S. cities. A review committee at the Lewis and Clark Public Library in Helena, Montana, considered a complaint by a local resident that the joy of gay sex was pornographic, and that the library was not providing a safe place for children and adolescents. The library board held a public hearing on the issue in September and received about 200 written submissions before voting to keep the book on the shelves. Director Judy Hart told reporters that it was the library's obligation to provide information to all elements of society.
And in Maryland, the Calvert County Board of Library Trustees voted unanimously last week to keep a children's book about two male penguins and the chick they raised where it's already been available, in the children's section of county libraries, along with other picture books. A few women had complained that the book would expose children to subject matter that violated their parents' moral beliefs. And Tango Makes Three tells the true story of male penguins Roy and Silo, who'd formed a noticeable partnership at the Central Park Zoo in New York City. When zookeepers saw the two taking turns sitting on an egg-shaped rock, they gave the couple a real egg that had been abandoned and allowed them to hatch it, producing a baby girl penguin named Tango. And Tango Makes Three has been among the right wing's most targeted books since its publication in 2005, but it's also won several awards. "This is a public library," said board trustee Laura Holbrook. "We are here to be welcoming of all families of all kinds."
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 1st, 2008, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Donna Ann Ward.
What by U.S. Founding Father is on the $10 bill? You have until later in the program to answer, and no cheating. Also coming up, the LGBT music scene is coming alive with new songs of the Zodiac in the key of free. But first, a mounting number of gay men in Cameroon have been arrested and held without charge in recent times, or sentenced to hard labor in trumped-up trials. Young lesbians have been targeted for expulsion from school. Earlier this year, Amnesty International went to bat for a teenager who was denied asylum in Switzerland, despite a UN ruling that Cameroon was violating the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Such cases have received media attention and worldwide public support, but few outsiders have gone behind the headlines, like Eric Boscherman of Radio Netherlands, who filed this report.
Homosexual acts are punishable by up to 5 years in prison and or a fine. In fact, over 30 people have been arrested in Cameroon over the past 2 years on charges of homosexuality. Now, that may not sound like a lot in a country of 16 million people, but it's been effective in creating tremendous fear among gays and lesbians. Addis Lacombe is a prominent Cameroonian lawyer who has represented a number of men imprisoned for being gay. She says Cameroonian law requires that you be caught in the act, but her clients were in prison for just, quote, looking gay.
If you wear an earring, if you're too handsome, too nice, too cute, very elegant, or wear very trendy clothes, just that could land you in prison on charges of homosexuality. Normally what happens is this. Someone will accuse a man of being gay because he owes him some money and he doesn't want to pay. So the person goes to the police, and they're only too happy to pick up an alleged homosexual. The police tell the man if he confesses, he'll be released. But it's actually a trap, because they'll use that confession to throw him in prison. An accusation is all it takes, even though the law says that the person has to be caught in the act of having sex with someone of the same sex. That has to be proven in front of a judge. But if the judge wasn't there, how can he or she know that the person did that? I even had a case where 9 people were arrested in different places at different times, and they were all judged together and convicted of homosexuality, even though they didn't even know each other.
One of the men who recently served time for being gay is 22-year-old Lorenzo. Now, one day last September, 2 policemen arrested him at the beauty salon where he worked and told him he was being charged with embezzlement.
They took me to the police station, and it was there I discovered I hadn't been arrested for embezzlement, but for statutory rape and homosexuality. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. I called my family and asked them to come. And then they threw me and 5 other guys who were also gay in prison. We weren't tried, and I was never sentenced. We were just put in prison as if we were wild animals.
Comme des sauvages.
Lorenzo and the other 5 men spent a total of 7 months in jail. They were all held in the same cell and were rarely allowed to go out. Everyone in the prison, both the guards and the inmates, knew that they were gay.
On nous traitait un peu comme des personnalités à part. Ils étaient créés des femmelettes, tout ça.
They treated us differently. Some of the prisoners treated us like women. They called us ugly women and faggots all the time. They'd say, "You shouldn't be alive." They'd hit us and throw water at us. We were tortured. They tried to rape us. We couldn't leave our cell to get fresh air because we were afraid the big boys would threaten and hurt us. Some of the guards would make fun of us, too. They thought we deserved to go to hell. We really couldn't leave our cell. It was like being in a prison within a prison.
Lorenzo was released just 2 weeks before I spoke to him. He had no money and nowhere to go, so he had to move back in with his mother and brothers and sisters. They only discovered that he was gay when he was jailed.
My relationship with my family is difficult. They watch me closely. They don't let me breathe. They don't accept it when my friends come to visit me at home. My mother says they're all gay, even though some of them aren't. She thinks I'm possessed. Every day she calls me a homosexual. I feel like I'm a slave. I feel rejected. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm really at my wit's end. I have to start my life over again from zero. I have nothing, and I have no one to help me.
That was Lorenzo speaking shortly after his release from a Cameroonian prison in a report produced for Radio Netherlands by Eric Beauchemin.
Alexander Hamilton, First Secretary of the Treasury, coming up now on The Rainbow Minute. Alexander Hamilton was a hero in the Revolutionary War and later the First Secretary of the Treasury under President George Washington. He was born in 1757 in the West Indies. As a highly intelligent youth, he came to America and began his education. He was soon sidetracked, joining the Colonial Army as an officer. Because of his evident abilities, General George Washington chose Hamilton as his advisor. Hamilton had relationships with both women and men, the most intense bond being with fellow advisor John Laurens. When they were apart on military assignments, they exchanged affectionate letters. Hamilton once wrote to Laurens saying, "I wish, my dear Laurens, it might be in my power, by actions rather than words, to convince you that I love you." In 1782, Laurens was killed in a military skirmish, and Hamilton felt the deepest affliction at the news. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Jay White.
We've got good news, bad news, and good news about your favorite international LGBT radio program. The good news is that you can now hear free podcasts of This Way Out. To subscribe, log on to www.thiswayout.org. The bad news is that we're still owed thousands of dollars from our former online outlet, and that puts This Way Out in serious financial jeopardy. Stations get the program from us for free. You can get the podcast for free. We're also free of corporate sponsors. Producing and distributing the program, however, is not free. But the other good news is that This Way Out's unique on-the-scene reports covering the fight for same-gender marriage equality, from the world's first legal weddings in the Netherlands to the victories in Canada, Massachusetts, and California, are now available in a 2-CD collection called Altered States. This Way Out listener supporters can get this and other special programs by visiting our website. Please say, "I do," at www.thiswayout.org.
We travel far and wide to catch up with the artists featured in the latest edition of The Audiophile.
Out of London comes transgendered artist Jenny Slater with her debut album. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. The album is called Zodiac, and Jenny describes herself as an alternative pop singer-songwriter.
Basically, Zodiac is a collection of songs about the human condition, obviously from a transsexual point of view. But hopefully I've managed to sort of do the songs in such a way that most people can identify with them.
She is a UK artist. Her website address reflects that. So you can visit her at www.jennyslater.co.uk.
The next artist on this very international show is Kate Reid from Vancouver, British Columbia.
I'm sitting here in the dark on my porch all alone, and I can barely even afford to pay my phone bill yet. Well, I'm a starving artist, and I still gotta have a day job, but I know where my heart is. It's right here behind my guitar. And I turn into a nervous wreck when I think about trying to make a living singing songs, cause I can't compete with burlesque dancers, and I can't compete with chicks in drag. And I'm a sarcastic chick with trucker mouth who really wants to make it big. Yeah, right, I'm gonna make it big singing songs about myself and how much I love women. All I really wanna do is make a living singing songs, but how will I get on the radio when I cuss and swear and sing about loving women? I sing about loving women.
The debut album by Kate Reid is called Coming Alive, and I love the fun perspective of this CD.
I think the best way to describe my album is it's dyke folk with a bit of a kick, meaning that it's mostly stories and songs from my life, with a lot of humor thrown in, and I really wanted the album to have a fun, upbeat perspective with songs that have a lot of hope in the end of them. So I hope people enjoy it.
And what I wanted was someone to take care of me, and what I wanted was someone to love me, yes. And what I wanted was someone who would chase my fears away, and what I wanted was someone to heal me. Come on, baby, please heal me.
You can learn more about Kate Reid's album, Coming Alive, at www.katereid.com. And Reid is spelled R-E-I-D.
And the American artist on this segment is Sam Harris, who's had a long career as a singer and actor. His new recording is called Free.
There's a war on drugs and a war on crime. They say Jesus wants a war to wipe out Darwinism. There's so many wars messing up my mind. And most of all, you got your war of wars on terrorism. You say the American way is what we're fighting for, but I'm sick of the spin you put me in, so I declare a war on war.
No war. justify your world.
This is the first sort of pop rock CD I've done in a really long time. My first couple of records were that way, and then I started to do the orchestration records, the standards records, the Broadway thing. I think what inspired this is I started writing different kinds of material, and I recognized that there was something in common with all of them, and that they were all definitions of freedom.
And I'm free to dance, forget about my two left feet, and I'm free to sing, even joyful noises, music to me, and I'm free to love, 'cause I'm giving you my love, and it's made me free.
Find out more about Sam Harris and his album called Free at www.samharris.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at our new address, 594 Sawdust Road, number 273, Spring, Texas, 77380, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
I'm free to love, 'cause I'm giving you my love, and it's made me free. Free from worry, free from envy and denial.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Tanya Kane Perry, Donna Ann Ward, Rex Wagner with Bill Kelly, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with Jay White, Sherry Lunn and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Thanks also to Eric Beauchemin and Radio Netherlands. Jenny Slater, Kate Reed, and Sam Harris performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mailed CDs or cassettes of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on Radio Free Santa Cruz, California, Dade City Community Radio, Dade City, Florida, CITR, Vancouver, British Columbia, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.